I never turn down an invitation to eat food. Thursday night, Kathy and Joe invited us to come and be introduced to their son-in-law, Honi, and Amber, their daughter. And I'm going to try your beautiful children's names and their ages. Azarel, 7. Lila, 6. Ziva, 4. And Liev, 2. Amber and Hone Cruz serve in Mexico, and I'm going to let you tell us the name of the city. I've heard it, but it just does not compute. It doesn't come off the tongue. So I'm going to let you tell them, tell you where they serve. I have sat around the table with other missionaries, and I have to tell you that I love the heartbeat that you have for the call that God has placed on your lives. Jeanette and I came away from that wonderful dinner feeling so refreshed in the Holy Spirit. Jeanette and I both had a sense that the work that God is calling you to do, He really has to have His hand in your life and on your life, and you have to have surrendered your wills to Him for you to do what you're doing. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And what a privilege it is for us this morning to just hear what they have on their hearts as God has brought them. You know, we don't believe in coincidences as Christians. We believe in divine intersections and divine interventions. And as we have the opportunity to hear what God is doing south of the border for us, that's their home. That's you guys' home. And we get to hear what God is doing in a far-off land, and it is refreshing to us. And we can kind of get in a cocoon here in the United States, and it's important for us, I believe, and know that our vision is lifted when we become more aware that you know, our little problems that we encounter here in this world day by day may not seem so big compared to some issues and problems that others are facing. And so would you join me in welcoming Honi and Amber Cruz as they speak this morning?
Well, thank you for letting us come into your church and to share with you about what we're doing. I wanted to start off with sharing, well, you're probably wondering how I ended up in Mexico and how everything came to be. And like John said, God had a reason for everything in my life. And each little thing that happened led me to where I'm at now and to who I am. I grew up in the church, so it was nothing new. I learned about God growing up. I went to Bible school, church camps, anything. I'm really looking back, I'm very blessed that my mom took me and taught me from a young age. So I knew it. But you know, you're not a Christian just because your parents are Christians or because you've heard about it. You have to make the decision for yourself. And I made that decision. I think it's a decision that we have to make each and every day. But when I was around 12 years old is when I pretty much gave my life to God. Can't say that from then on everything was good. But at 12, I decided to be baptized, and I gave my heart to God. There were a lot of things that played into my growth when I was growing up. I had 3 years of loss. I lost a classmate who was a friend of mine, and then I lost the next year another classmate, and then the next year was the hardest, and I lost my brother. But looking back now, I'm thankful because I think it made me realize how fragile life is today. And so growing up, I always had that in the back of my head. If I do this, what if tomorrow something happened? Where would I be? So I think God kept me on the straight and narrow and helped me not to go off too far from the right path. And so I look back and I'm like, yeah, God, why did you do that? But I say, I know you had a purpose for it and you've used it in my life, and I thank you for it, because everything works for the good for those who love you. And so those things, I think, really hit me and impacted my life. Through high school, you know, you always have ups and downs, but by senior year, I decided I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to beauty school and do hair. So I took some vocational classes doing that. But then God was pulling on my heart, and I thought, I want to do some sort of missionary work. So I thought, well, I looked into some organizations, started researching, and I went to my mom, and I said, Mom, I want to do this. And she looked at me, and after having lost her son, she's not so easily open to letting her daughter go anywhere. If you ask my friends, they would say I lived a sheltered life. But right now, I'm very thankful that I lived a sheltered life, or what they would call a sheltered life. So I brought it up to her. I said, I want to go be part. I don't know exactly where I want to go, but if you'll let me do this, this is what I want to do. And she said, well, I think you need an education behind you. I don't think this is for you right now. Okay. I thought, well, I cried. It was, yes, get my education first. So I thought, okay, well, I have to do that. So I went off to beauty school. I'm not sure if I really completely forgot about that. But through friends and stuff that I made in beauty school, I went to a different beauty school because I didn't really care for the one I was going to. I wanted, if I was going to get education, might as well do this the best that I can. So I wanted to find a good school. So I went to Wisconsin and found a good school in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Through some friends that I met at the school, I got to talking one day with one of them, and we said, you know what? I don't know if I really want to do this for the rest of my life. And me and my friend both were saying, I think I want to do some sort of missionary work still. Well, my friend said, you know what? I went for 10 days down to an orphanage in Mexico, and I really want to go back. So she started telling me about it. I'm like, well, this is a perfect place. Might as well go there. So she got me connected, and then I was like, okay, well, I have to talk to my parents again. It was really hard the first time to convince them. I didn't think it would be very easy the next time. So we kind of planned everything out before I went and presented it to him. And I talked to her first on the phone. I was crying as I told her what I wanted to do, thinking she was just going to tell me no. And she said, well, you got to get things in order. I want you to figure this out, figure that out. If you can get an answer for these things, then we'll talk about it. So I decided that I was going to line all that stuff up so that there wouldn't be any way out of it and bring it to her and see what she had to say. So this time, I pretty much was almost done with beauty school, so I had my education somewhat behind me. And I came and I went and I talked to them. I said, you know, my friend told me about this orphanage. I still feel like I want to do some sort of mission work, at least before I get settled down. And I got this stuff in order. Do you think I can do it? They said, well, you know, we really don't want to stand in the way of what God has for you. Thank you. I'd been praying about it and praying about it. And finally, they decided to say yes. And well, from there, I made all my plans. I figured out how I was going to get down there. And I decided that I was going to commit to 6 months. And this was going to a country I'd never been to. I've only seen this place through pictures from what my friend was telling me about. And she ended up not even being able to go down with me at the same time. So I hooked up with some other people that I didn't even know. And so I was like, okay, I want to do it 6 months. I know it's not going to be easy. I don't speak Spanish, or I didn't speak Spanish. And I thought, okay, I want to do it. I know it's going to be hard. I might have the chance, if I want to, I could call and I could say, can I come home? But I said, Mom, if I call you and tell you I want to come home, tell me I can't. So she said, okay. Although I think she probably would have wanted to say, okay, I'll come home, I'll go get you, if I called her and told her I wanted to. So I committed myself, went down there. The first month was tough. I got sick right off the bat. I never actually called her and told her I wanted to come home, but I considered the option of going home after a month. But I made my way through it. And after that, by 3 months there, if you asked me, I wouldn't have wanted to come back home. I fell in love with the place. We went to an orphanage that's in Huajuapan in Oaxaca in Mexico. And in that orphanage, there's 30-some kids. At that time, they're all tiny. When you walk in, they come running to you. They love on you. You can't really get a kid off your back. I grew up just after my one brother died. I just had another brother. My house was pretty quiet. Didn't really have much interaction with kids. And so being surrounded by little kids, no quiet time, no personal time. If I wanted to cry, I couldn't cry because someone would see me and be like, what's going on? I wouldn't be able to explain myself even if I wanted to. So I kept things in. I was strengthened that way, I guess. But yeah, by 3 months, I could see the way that God was working in the lives of the kids, what was going on there. I was loving being a part of it. I met Honi, who was working there. And so that obviously plays a part into wanting to be there. But it was just an amazing experience. I knew I had to leave. And I didn't know if I would see him again. I didn't know if I'd see the kids again. But I had loans I had to pay off because I went to beauty school. I had like $7,000 of loans. And I knew, well, if I even want to come back, I have to get that paid off. I can't make money while I'm down here. I thought, well, okay, well, God, it's in your hands. Came back. It was one of the hardest changes ever, coming from being surrounded by kids and always having something, playing soccer, doing something, someone to talk to nothing, silence. And so quickly I got a job. I wanted to pay off those loans as quick as I could. So I got a job to pay off those loans. I worked at a factory in Crest Foods, and I worked all the overtime shifts I could. I picked up everything I could. And it was kind of cool because I got to keep up my Spanish by talking to all of the Mexicans who were there. So that was kind of fun. It kind of opened up my world to, or opened up another world, I guess you could say, that I'd never been able to even be a part of. And so that was a really neat experience. I worked my butt off and got those loans paid off. And well, that was, I went there in January, left in July. I got my loans paid off by December, and in that time period, we kind of got engaged. long story short, his dad was saying, okay, you know, if you're still talking to her, you need to, you know, if... is this serious, or just let her go, let her make her own life up there? And we were pretty serious, I guess. So he talked to me, but he said, his dad told him, he said, you better tell her exactly what you want. She needs to know exactly what she's getting into, because if she doesn't, she comes down here, there's so many situations where the wife pulls the husband out of the country and they make their own life in the United States. Let her know what you want, and if she wants to do it with you, there you go. So he called me. He told me exactly what he wants, and I said, you know, yes, I want to be a part of that. And what he was telling me this time was that he wanted to have, he was already working in the orphanage, but he wanted to start a new orphanage in a town 2 hours away where his parents had land for him that they had inherited. No one was living in the house that was there. The land wasn't being used except occasionally for a youth camp. And so he had plans that he wanted to get animals, start up a little farm, have the orphanage there, teach the kids things about the farm and everything out in the country, because it's a completely different landscape than the orphanage in Huapan, which is in a town setting on the side of a hill that's all dry and barren. Here it's fertile land, green pine trees, everything all over. So he told me, I wrote it down even in my journal, exactly what he told me, what he wanted. And so it's funny to say that now, after being married, we got married in 2007, the next year, we're actually living our dreams. God has helped us to complete and reach the point that he told me that that was what he wanted for his life, for our lives. We were in the orphanage in Huapan for how many years?
Seven years.
We built an apartment above the orphanage while we were living there. And we said, well, I think we're just going to make one extra room just in case we have a kid. By the time we got out of there, we had three kids already. And so it was like, okay, definitely time to move on. So, yeah, then we made the change about 4 years ago now to Tlahiaco, which is where we're at now. And we're living our dream. With the kids, we want to have a self-sustaining orphanage, being able to grow our own crops, teach the boys how to do all that. We have cattle, sheep, deer, chickens, about anything you can imagine. We have a horse. We're teaching the kids how to live off the land, how to work, what they could do if they were on their own to make a living. So many things. Honi has discipleship with them. He plays soccer. He teaches them, he works with them. It's really an emotional, spiritual job, physical job, working and dealing with teenage boys. What we have is from boys from the age of 12 and up. Right now, because we're still working on the construction of our place, we just took the boys, the older boys from the other orphanage in Huapan, and they're with us. We have five boys right now, and the mother of two of them, who have been with us from the very beginning of the orphanage. These boys were like 4 and 5 when I came to the orphanage, and now they're teenagers. And their mom, who's not mentally right, she's with us right now. So you can only imagine having teenage boys, all the struggles, and then throw in there, these are boys that came from the streets who have ties from all their backgrounds. They carry about a lot of baggage and even like the sins and everything from their past into where they are now. So it's definitely a challenge, and having churches here that back us up and support us and that are praying for us is very important to us. We know the power of prayer, and right now having you guys be on our team, I'm really excited about this. I want Honi to share a little bit about, I don't know if he's going to share his testimony or something, and how he got to where we are now, and we'll close it.
Take it off.
Well, my name is Jonathan Ashley. Everybody calls me Honi. I was telling Pastor John that when I was in the elementary school, all my classmates make fun of me because my sisters used to come into my classroom and call me from the door, Honi, and they, well, it sounds like honey, but it's not. So my classmates used to make a lot of fun of that, so I was trying to change that when I was in elementary school, but I couldn't. Right now, I just give in to that. There's a lot of people who doesn't even really know my name. They just know I'm Honi, and that's fine with me now. I think a very important thing in my life since I met Jesus, it's been the scripture and having the experience to get to know God. And if I would have to define my life according to a Bible part, I will refer to Philippians 4:6, which it says, Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Why I'm saying this is because when I was a teenager, I got into a lot of trouble. If she would have known me back in that day, I wouldn't be even the last option for her, for the guy that she will want to be married to, because I was a mess. God cleaned me up. I did things I'm not proud of. You know, most of us have. And God got me out of there. But when I came to Jesus, the most hardly thing for me, it was trusting in God. Believing that he will take control. It's very easy to say God has control of my life when I have everything figured out according to my plan. But to put my plan in his hands and let him work his way, it's a thing that not many of us want to do. And what I want to share with you is about Philippians, this part, is because I see a lot of younger people here. And I think it's you guys are going to find yourself in the same way I was when I was a teenager. And when I met Amber, you know, she was Amber. She was my, you know, I saw her and I was like, oh man, that's the girl I want to marry to. So inside my heart, I was like, God, I really want it to work. I started doing an effort. When she met me the first time, I came up from a gang. So I used to dress up like a gangster, big pants, big hoodies, cover all up. You know, my mom used to tell me that I look like a toddler with a baby that went five or six times on the diaper. You know, it's almost hanging all the way to the knees. So she used to tell me that, like, my goodness, honey, how can you play soccer with your pants all the way down there? Like, you don't have to do much, and I can see your butt over here. And then the big shirts. And so that's how Amber met me. Amber met me like that, very, very short hair. I mean, buzzet number one, big chains in the front. So when I met Amber and I was just changing my life, I really wanted to work. And then my dad comes and said, slow it down, buddy. How do you know this is from God? And I was like, well, because it feels good. When I talk to her, I feel different. And he was actually telling me, the thing, honey, is that when you get anxious, Bible says do not get anxious, but when we get anxious, I'm going to do a demonstration. Hopefully you don't, not with Amber, hopefully you don't get uncomfortable with it, but in the inside of us, we are like this. God, I really want it. I really want that house. I really want that girl. I really want that car. Oh, God. That's the way we are. We are asking God things, but in the inside, we're like this. Oh, I really want to have it. I have to have it. So we're not really putting anything on God's hands because we already made up our minds. We already decide, this is the girl I want to marry to. This is the car I want to have. This is the house I want to have. This is the way I want to live. This is what I want to be. Parents, I've seen so many kids wanted to get involved in the ministry, and then the parent is right there, not allowing the kid doing that. And then the parent comes one day and talks to me and said, "Honey, what can I do? I taught my son into the gospel. I present him the gospel. I brought him to Jesus. But he wants nothing from Jesus now. All he wants is to go out on his bike rides and drink beers and go with his girlfriend. He has one girlfriend here, another one over there, and then another one over there. And I don't know why." And I'm like, "Really? I can tell you when. It started in the first second when he saw you as a parent not putting your life in Jesus. Then your son is watching there. Okay, he's teaching me that Jesus is the decision. He's telling me that Jesus is the way. He's telling me, but he's not following it. He's not doing anything for Jesus. It's also he gets comfortable. If he feels okay, he'll go to church. If the pastors touch a very sensitive subject, he will not show up the next weekend." And it is like that. We are getting to a point that we like to do the things in our own way. And we are anxious all the time. Isn't life in America getting anxious? Everybody has to get somewhere. Everybody has to do something. Everybody's on speed. And if you don't move to that, they are behind you with a horn. Hurry up. When I got here on Wednesday evening, I was walking in Polo with my wife to Casey's to pick up a pizza. And as we were walking, I was telling my wife, "You know, in Mexico, if we see someone in the street and it's just us and a random person, we say, 'Good afternoon, good evening,' whatever the time is it is." And she was telling me, "Well, in America, we don't do that. Because you might get yelled at you for that." And so this is all very different, but that's the consequences of us being really anxious about stuff. We want things to be done. So when my dad talks to me, I was like, "I really want to get married to her. I really love her." And my dad says, "Well, you should talk to her and settle things down. What do you want to do with your life? You picture your life in America," and I refer in U.S., and I was telling my dad, "No, because I feel like that my God is calling me to start a new ministry in the mountains in Oaxaca, and I think that's where my life is going." And then he told me, "Well, you better talk to her. But first, present it to God. Let God take the decision for you in that area. Let him take control over that." So it was very hard for me. She was up here. I was down there. We talk only on the phone. And I'm introverted, extroverted personality. I have both in my temperament, so like if I don't see my parents for like a month, then my phone conversations with them last like 16 seconds. "How are you?" "Fine." "What you're doing?" "Nothing." "Are you okay?" "Yeah." And then it's my turn. "How are you, Dad?" "Fine." "What you're doing?" "Well, I'm working in the orphanage." "Everything okay?" "Yeah." "Okay. Goodbye." So that's the way I grew. So for me it was really hard to let that on God, you know, like to say, "Jesus, you really want me to get married to her. This is, if I choose this, I will be accepting your will in my life." So God says, "Okay, green light, go ahead. I'll take care of that." So I talked to her. Then Amber told me next time, "My mom is not very happy at your dad now, honey." and I was like, "Well, you know, I wish every parent would talk to that like that to their sons, you know." because for my dad, is starting a relationship is not one thing like changing your socks. You know, one day you wear orange, next day you wear green, and next day you wear white. It's one lifetime decision. You choose who you want to be, and it's a very important decision. Once I got married, I got to see actually Mexican missionaries who got married to American missionaries, and then they are all here in United States, full of bitterness, because the Mexican keeps thinking, oh, I wish I was in Mexico. I could do this and that and be serving in this way. And he's very, how do you say, discontent, unhappy with his life, because he knows at one point he lost track of it. So when I talked to her, I told her, well, you know, you seen Huajuapan. In that time, there was no Walmart in our city, just very small convenience stores. And I told her, we're going to Tlaxiaco. And Tlaxiaco has one of those stores that I've seen them in, like, the small towns in here, like, I mean, with 40 people in there probably, that they have, you know, a butchery, and then next to it, hardware, and then next to it, seats, and then next to it, like, shoes, and there's only like four designs different in there. So all convenience stores in Tlaxiaco are pretty much like that. So I was telling her, you know, coming from US to Huajuapan is a big change, but for me, going from Huajuapan to Tlaxiaco, it's gonna be a big change, and I can't even imagine how big it will be for you. So you're okay with this? We talk to, we pray about, and the time got where I had to apply for my visa. And then as I was praying for my visa, I told God, well, my in-laws already figured out where we were gonna get married and stuff, and I was like, okay, God, if we are moving too quick, please do not let me have my visa. If I'm going against your will, please deny the visa for me. Hold that. But when I applied, they give it to me right away for 10 years. I was still talking to the ambassador that I was talking to, and I was showing him stuff, and he just said, okay, so I left the room. I called Ember. Ember told me, okay, you're coming to the States. She decided to come back like a month before our wedding, I think. Can't remember very well. To the States to set up everything. Then comes the second part. Thinking good things. First, my life took a deep breath, and I decided, I'm going to calm down. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm going to put everything on God's hands. And then the second it was, now I'm going to think good things. Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, praiseworthy, think about such things. And it's very easy to get also caught up in the worst scenarios, you know. Everybody thinks, in my case, as I was flying down here, I was by myself. It was the first time I left my family. It was the first time I left my country. And I'm flying to a different country. I was still learning English, as I am right now, still. So I was... You know, I heard all the stories about people who came to the custom agents, and as soon as they show up their visa, they said, oh, you know, you can't come through. There goes. Go back to your country. So I thought, what if I get there and they don't allow me to cross? What if this goes wrong? What if I, because I don't know the traffic rules in Mexico, the driving rule number one is you go first. If you want to get somewhere, Mexican rule for driving, if you ever go to Mexico and you decide to drive, you go first. if you're waiting for the lights and the stop signs and all that, you're getting nowhere. You go first. So my mind was, what if my unconscious part of me beats me on the drive on the highway, and then when I notice that it happened a couple times, when I saw Amber tell me, "Honey, you're going over 90 miles an hour," and I was like, "Okay." So, what if that happens? And because that, I get a ticket, and then they said, "Oh, you're a Mexican. You have a visa, but guess what? You don't have it anymore." Or stuff like that. What if I run out of money? What if this happens? What I'm gonna do? God again was telling me, think good things. Think good things. Whatever is noble, whatever is pure, think about that. Focus on that. So I came, I met my in-laws. The first, we got to the house, and I don't know why, it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We walk into the house, and the first thing they ask me to do is to try on my suit for the wedding. So I'm putting, you know, I have jet lag or whatever it's called, putting my wedding suit on, and then Joe comes behind me and pulls me and gives me a wedgie. And I don't know how to react, you know. I don't know, should I laugh? If somebody would do this in Mexico, what would I do? Probably fist them, but I can't because I just met the guy. And then it's going to be my future in-law. So I just turn and look at him, and he started laughing. I said, okay. Then a couple days later, they took us to the store where we got the suits. And the guy there is having a nightmare. He says it was the first time in his whole career where in the same time he has to do the biggest suit that he has ever made and the smallest one he has ever made. So I was there. And all this time, I keep thinking about, what if I get married? And what if it was my impulse? What if I didn't even hear God? What if what I thought it was God talking to me, it is not? What? Again, what if? So I was talking one night to one of my best friends in here, and he was telling me, "Honey, if you start your life complaining, your whole life is going to be about complaints. You're going to be complaining constantly. There's not going to be joy in your life. You're going to be constantly complaining. But if you start actually believing what God has told you and living as if it is truth what God is telling you to do, then your whole life will change." So I start doing that. I start thinking good things. And I commit to my wife. I took the decision every morning when I get up, you know, if you've been married, sometimes you don't feel like loving your wife. Sometimes, especially when she gets out of the shower, the bathroom's all wet, there's a bunch of hair clogged on the faucet. I mean, one of my friends said, "You know, honey, she's really pretty, but you'll see her in the mornings when women get up and they look like a parrot that got beat up with a broom." Would you still love her? And you know, it's a decision that we have to make every day. It's about killing myself, not about suicide, I'm not, it's about killing my self-ego. Putting it down and said, "I'm going to submit to her. I'm going to live with her. I'm going to love her no matter what." Good things. I start putting that in God's hands. Then the third thing is the responsibility. Me running an orphanage, it's a big responsibility. I take over kids who are not my kids. that sometimes I have to be careful that they might harm my kids. You know, some of the kids I work with, they've been sexual abuse, they've been violent. How do you say it? Violated, like one of the cases, stronger cases that I have ever worked, it was with a kid that he was 4 years old, and his dad used to tie his hands in the back, put him on his knees, and beat him up until the kid passed out. So how a kid like that is going to grow, that's my responsibility. And Paul says, but whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. I became the leader for those kids. If they see that I'm fighting with her, if they see that I'm like always bitterness, complaining about my wife, she can't drive well, she always parks the car in the grass. Amber, you scratched the car. It happened once. She went to the market and came back with a dent in the van, and I was like, oh, really? But everything I'm doing in front of the kids, it's a testimony to the kids. You know, when I hear those kids telling me, you know, honey, when I grow up, I want to have a family like yours. I want to have my kids like yours. Every time when I come to the States and I hear people saying, you know, I liked your kids, that they were able to sit during the whole sermon, not making a noise, not running around. When you tell them, be quiet, they are quiet. When you tell them, sit, they sit. I really like that. And it's inspiring to me, but also give me responsibility. You know, I have to be a leader for them. I have to be a leader for my wife. I have to be an example for the people around me. And the problem today is that not many Christians are assuming that responsibility. Christians are going wherever the world's going. Christians are acting exactly the same way everybody else is acting. Everybody's acting exactly the same. If that guy out there is in a hurry, the Christian is exactly in the same hurry. Not caring about anyone. I was talking to a friend that drove from Minnesota to Mexico, and he got there last Sunday. And he was telling me, you know, honey, I went to a gas station. I filled up my tank with gas. And then when I paid, the guy charged me 3 times more than what I was supposed to be paying. But it was my fault because I didn't pay attention to it. Because I took it for granted that he will be honest. You know what? Christians are losing hope everywhere we go. And what I want to do is encourage you to hang on hope. If you don't hang on hope, coming here every Sunday, whatever you do is going to be meaningless. What I hold on when I work with the kids is I hang on the hope that they could change, they could become a better person, that God can do something in their lives as he did on me. My ministry right now relies on those 3 things. Trusting God, number one. Thinking about good things that I'll say, hold on to hope. And the third one, responsibility. Each one of us has to assume our responsibility. If United States is going the way it is going, it's because a lot of us, we've been sitting around instead of doing something. And nobody wants to hear that. Everybody wants to say, you know, I've been putting my life in God. Well, it's really easy. It's really easy when you don't commit, when you don't do nothing. It's very easy when you're in comfort zone saying, I'm praying for you, buddy, on the cell phone, you know. Right now there's apps so you know how to pray. But if you read your Bible, if you would read your Bible, if you go one-on-one to God, you wouldn't need those apps. You know what I mean? I think that is the only way how we could impact our community and our country. I'm very thankful that you guys want to be a part of our ministry. I hope every time you pray, you will remember us in your prayers. And remember, whatever you do, do it for God, not for men. That's the way I want to live. I got married to her. She's been great. Every time I ask her, do you remember how your dad used to plant this in her farm, in his farm? She says, I never pay attention. I didn't really care. When she got there, she told me, I wish I would pay more attention to my Spanish lessons on high school.
I thought I was never going to need it.
She said, I was never going to need it. She spoke about the same about farm. You know, she said, I'm never going to do farming. Well, we're doing farming. We're trying to teach kids. We're trying to teach them to assume responsibilities. We're trying to teach them work ethics, get up on time, do as much as you can. Commit to what you're doing. And I want to encourage you, commit to what you're doing. If you're believing in God, commit to God. If you really want Him to take the lead of your life, commit to Him. If you don't, then please don't waste your time here. I don't know what else to say about that. Thank you for having us here. And if you guys want to talk, ask questions, we will be more than happy to answer them. And there's a lot of things I did I'm not proud of, and I don't really like to talk them about anymore. But if you want to know, I can talk to you. You know? But remember, where you are being an example. What you do represents your Father. And the Bible says, you're either God's sons, or automatically you have the other one as a father. So it's up to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Honi and Amber. I want to give you an opportunity. They came with came just to share what God is doing in their life, and I want to give you an opportunity as your pastor to respond to what God is leading you to do. I believe there's a video, and that would be good as the ushers can pass the plates around. You can make a check to Living Well Church, and then Pam will make a check to Amber and Honi in support. Didn't you love their heart? I felt that it was significant that instead of showing a lot of, in other words, selling you what is happening in Mexico, they're just sharing their hearts. And because they've shared their hearts, I think we know that God is using them. Amen. And I just want to thank you for sharing your heart. I'm encouraged. And just like Thursday night, my spirit is refreshed and renewed. It just does my heart good to see what God is doing in the hearts and lives of others. Serving Jesus is an adventure. Amen. We never know what's around the next bend, but we stick together because we are the body of Christ. Amen. And Brad, if you would go ahead and put that video up that Honi and Amber brought, I'd like to invite our ushers to go ahead and we'll receive our love offering for Amber and Honi. Thank you. Would you thank them one last time before we dismiss here this morning?
dreams in the mix. And I'ma be a husband who stays legit. And I pray that I'm an artist who rises above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me, though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a feast full of eyes, a low blow to purpose. And I'm a little kid at a three-ring circus. Not what you do. True, we get it twisted when we peek at the charts. Yo, before we part from the start, where's your heart?
You a pimp?
Hustler, tell me what's your title? America has no more stars, now we call them idols. You said idol, while we teach prosperity. The first thing to prosper should be inside me. Not because of 22s on the range, but Christ came in range. We said yes, now we change. Not the same, even though I met a fall. Since I got that call, no more saw, now we're all. Yep.
Talking with you later, if you have a little bit and have some questions. I know there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that, you know, in the time that we had here this morning, just unable to fill in all the blanks. But perhaps if you've got a question, you could kind of catch them over here before you leave. And Kathy and Joe, you guys just must be in heaven right now with all your grandbabies home, and having Amber and Honey here. They're here for a month, but you guys have engagements in the next three Sundays at other churches, and we want to assure you of our prayers And I just believe this is the start of something great. I've never been to Mexico. What's that? We're welcome to. Thank you. But I've always wanted to be a part of a mission trip. And by the way, would you remember Jay, who's going to take a citizenship test on Wednesday? Wouldn't Jay and his family make awesome chaperones for this rowdy group to take us down to Mexico? I know. What did he just say? Well, you know what? Let's just follow the Lord, and we don't know how the Lord will lead us exactly, but we do know that we're a part of something good here. And thank you for sharing. Just really opens our eyes to the blessings. I loved how that video started and ended. In every little point on this globe, Jesus is making a difference. And it's up to us as to whether or not we'll be a part of that. And thank you for the opportunity, for giving us an opportunity to be a part. Worship team, would you come on up? And we've just enjoyed. Wednesday night, I didn't really even hardly give Amber and Honey a chance. I said, do you play anything? Do you sing anything? And they said, well, I guess. And here they are, and it's just been wonderful to kind of hear their voices and keys in my right ear as we. I just feel like we've got new friends for life, and it's been wonderful. Would you stand with us together and sing?
I have decided, I've called out his name. I'm following Jesus now, and he knows the way. I've made up my mind, I'll leave it behind. No turning back.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. God bless you guys. Thank you. You are dismissed. Amen.